struck the water with it. The water divided, and he and Elisha crossed to the other side on dry ground. There Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what you want me to do for you before I'm taken away. Let me receive the share of your power that will make me your successor," Elisha answered. "That is a difficult request to grant," Elijah replied. "But you will receive it if you see me as I'm being taken away from you. If you don't see me, you won't receive it." They kept talking as they walked on. Then suddenly a chariot of fire, pulled by horses of fire, came between them. And Elijah was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out to Elijah, my father, mighty defender of Israel, you are gone." And he never saw Elijah again. In grief, Elisha tore his cloak in two.
Thank you. So a slightly different thing today, but Julie and I are going to do the sermon together. And just to add to the excitement and interest, it's got two parts to it. I instructed Paul to give us a musical interlude between the two parts of the sermon and before Sally comes up to read the second reading. So let's just pray before we start. Father God, may our words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder how many of you have read The Hobbit by Tolkien or seen the film. In the story, Bilbo Baggins, a very respectable hobbit, unexpectedly meets Gandalf the Wizard and finds his life turned upside down as he sets off into a far-off land in search of a lost treasure. The Hobbit is a tale of a journey, has a subtitle, There and Back Again. It not only speaks of miles travelled and places visited, it also tells how Bilbo grew and developed. At first, Bilbo, a homebird who'd never had an adventure in his life, misses his comfortable hobbit hole and his large breakfasts. But as the journey progresses, with the help of a ring he finds, he's able to challenge spiders, creep through the dungeons of the Elf King, and even enter the haunt of the dragon Smaug, deep beneath the lonely mountain. As he journeys, Bilbo is changed.
Our Bible story today is also a tale of there and back again, commitment tested and of a life changed. But our story actually began some years before the reading we've just read. Elisha, an ordinary Israelite farmer, was out one day, ploughing his family field, when he was interrupted by Israel's old prophet Elijah, who unexpectedly threw his cloak over Elisha's shoulders and then passed on by. This symbolic gift, the cloak, was a life-changing experience for Elisha, the man chosen by God to be Elijah's successor. He decided to sacrifice his oxen, set fire to the ox yoke. Then he roasted and shared the meat with his neighbours before setting off to be Elijah's assistant.
There was to be no turning back. As we look at this Bible passage, we do so at the turning of the year. Some of the familiar in 2018 will give way to the new, as 2019 beckons us on to a new stage of our journey with God.
Let us follow Elisha and Elijah, taking time to learn from their journey together to the far bank of the Jordan, where Elijah was taken up to heaven, and then on to Elisha's journey beyond, alone into the future.
Every journey has a starting place. And we join Elijah and Elisha on their journey together, on the road from Gilgal, a place of new beginnings.
A pillar of 12 stones marked the place where the people of Israel had first entered the promised land. The stones commemorated the power of God as the waters of the River Jordan had been rolled back, enabling the people to pass through the river on dry land.
We've all reached the end of 2018. Some of us only just. We've been running the race and are staggering across the line into 2019. Others of us may have entered into a new relationship with God or a new season in our walk with him. The evil one is keen to snatch away from us what we've learnt in 2018 and the moments that we've gone forward with God.
So now, as we're at the end of 2018, do we need to take time to make our pillar of stones, to remember what God has done for us this year? One of my pillars of stones were to remember our amazing visit with Sam to the Lebanon. Every day we listened enthralled to the testimonies of barriers being broken down between enemies, the Lebanese and the Syrians. But it went much deeper than this, to forgiveness of years of hatred, enabling God's love to shine through. We heard of friendships forged, people learning to love those who'd wronged them in the past, and of Lebanese people going the extra mile to help Syrian refugees. A woman who'd been at gunpoint with her baby many years ago, now serving the Lebanese refugees daily. What hope and encouragement to hang on to for 2019, believing the power of God can bring such forgiveness to our communities in the UK. Elisha's first test came while walking from Gilgal. Elijah told Elisha to stay. I'm going to Bethel. Would Elisha commit to him or let him go? Elisha's decision is clear. As God lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you.
We too are called to a journey of faith and commitment. But just like Elisha, sometimes our commitment to God is challenged and buffeted. Sometimes there'll be those moments when we wonder whether we can actually keep going. Our Christian journey may sometimes seem as if we're taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps back.
Commitment is not a one-off decision. It's a long obedience in the same direction. So will we stop or step forward as we come to the end of 2018? Will we be like Elisha and stay on the road with God, affirming our faith by saying to God, I will not leave you?
So the two men journeyed on together to Bethel, the house of God.
Bethel was significant as Abraham had built the first altar for worshipping the living God there after entering the promised land.
Worship at Bethel still continued in Elijah's day, but it had drifted away from the worship of Yahweh, Israel's God, to the worship of a golden calf. But worship had always been at the centre of Elijah's faith, and he had sought to restore true worship and keep God centre stage in the life of the people of Israel, especially when he confronted and defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel.
If the Lord is God, follow him, was Elijah's question to the people of Israel.
The same question challenges us today. Will we faithfully worship and put the living God at the centre of our lives? Will we choose him to be our Lord and God?
Or is our daily worship and commitment mostly to the gods with a small g, who so often rule our lives? Food, money, social media, leisure. So maybe now, at the end of 2018, it's a good time to consider what our gods with a small g are and whether they're taking the place of the true God in our lives.
Our consideration might well start with how long we spend on those other items and activities. For a second time, this time in Bethel, Elijah tests Elisha's commitment. This time he suddenly says he's off to Jericho and urges Elisha to remain in Bethel. Again, as on the Gilgal Road, Elisha's answer is simple and straightforward. I will not leave you. So, Elisha remains steadfastly at Elijah's side as they set off for Jericho.
Arriving in Jericho, remembrances of their past may have stirred in their hearts. The amazing and stunning victory God had wrought when the battle for Jericho had been won and the city walls came tumbling down. Jericho was a reminder of the power of God overcoming insuperable odds, demolishing strong walls and gates.
Perhaps we've seen exciting victories in our Christian life in 2018. Old habits broken, fears banished, sins forgiven, release from past troubles. Perhaps they might indeed be some of the things that we would like to prepare some form of pillar to help us remember them. We do need to enjoy these times of victories and encouragements in our lives, but there is also a time to move on. The Old New Testament tells us that we should pick up and carry our cross daily and follow God.
So Elisha was tested yet a third time by Elijah, this time telling him to stay in Jericho, while Elijah went on to the River Jordan alone. But Elisha was insistent, I will not leave you.
Three times Elisha was challenged to remain in the land of Israel. Three times he recommitted himself to the aged prophet and to God. I think we should all be encouraged, each one of us, that we are still, at the end of 2018, journeying with God. But it's important that we're not complacent. In Corinthians, we're encouraged to examine ourselves to see that we are still in the faith.
So as we travel along together, let's be ready to encourage one another and build one another up, reading the Bible and praying together regularly. Standing together on the bank of the River Jordan, Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water. Immediately the waters parted, opening a way to the opposite bank. On reaching the other side, having left the promised land behind them, Elijah asked Elisha if there was anything he wanted from him.
Please give me a double portion of your spirit, Elisha said.
Elisha was told that if he saw Elijah being taken away by God, a double portion of Elijah's spirit would be his. As they walked on, Elisha determinedly kept his eyes fixed on Elijah until a fiery chariot swept between them, a whirlwind snatching Elisha up to heaven. Elisha saw him go. Elijah was no more.
Tearing his clothes, he took up the fallen cloak of Elijah. It was his. And he turned back to the edge of the river. The old had gone, and the new was about to begin.
Thank you. So Elisha did see it. He did see Elijah being taken up to heaven. And he cried out, "My father, my father, mighty defender of Israel, you are gone," and never saw Elijah again. In grief, Elisha tore his cloak in two. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then he struck the water again, and it divided, and he walked over to the other side. The 50 prophets from Jericho saw him and said, "The power of Elijah is on Elisha." They went to meet him, bowed down before him, and said, "There are 50 of us here, all strong men. Let us go and look for your master. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord has carried him away and left him on some mountains or in some valley." "No, you must not go," Elisha answered. But they insisted until he gave in and let them go. The 50 of them went and looked high and low for Elijah for 3 days, but did not find him. Then they returned to Elisha, who had waited at Jericho, and he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" The miracles of Elisha. Some men from Jericho went to Elisha and said, "As you know, sir, this is a fine city, but the water is bad and causes miscarriages. Put some salt into a new bowl and bring it to me," he ordered. They brought it to him. And he went to the spring, threw the salt in the water, and said, "This is what the Lord says. I make this water pure, and it will not cause any more deaths or miscarriages." And that water has been pure ever since, just as Elisha said it would be. Elisha left Jericho to go to Bethel, and on the way, some boys came out of a town and made fun of him. "Get out of here, baldy," they shouted. Elisha turned round and glared at them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys to pieces. Elisha went on to Mount Carmel and later returned to Samaria.
It was time for Elisha, as for Bilbo the Hobbit, to go home, to retrace his steps across the River Jordan, back to the Promised Land and beyond. He'd seen Elijah go up to heaven, but had he received the promised double portion of Elijah's spirit? Had anything changed? Elisha must have felt very alone on the far bank of the Jordan, clutching the old prophet's cloak. There was no Elijah to roll up the cloak and strike the Jordan. It was all down to Elisha. Would God again open up the Jordan?
The first step may well have been the hardest. Following Elijah's pattern, he struck the water with his cloak, calling out, "Where now is the God of Israel?" And the water parted, and Elijah crossed over. Looking on, the prophets of Jericho said, "The spirit of Elijah now rests on Elisha."
We may, in 2019, like Elisha, have to face our own Jordans and have to cry out to the Lord in faith, the waters will part so we can cross on dry ground. Our Jordans may come in all different shapes and sizes. They may confront us as individuals, as God's church, or as a nation.
Individually, our Jordans could be concerns about our health or finances. We may have to leave a familiar job or face difficulties in our relationships. Our challenge may be the same as Elisha's, setting out into 2019 without a life companion or friend. As a church, our Jordan could be the decision we need to take about our building. Should we stay or should we go into town? There are many obstacles ahead, but we will need to learn to lean on God to provide the answers. Let us, like Elisha, cry out to God, where now is the God of Elijah?
An even bigger Jordan causing anxiety across the UK is the unknown future for our nation as we face a hard, soft, or even a no Brexit. Time is running short and many divisions remain across our nation, families and communities. If ever there was a seemingly impassable Jordan to be crossed, it appears to be Brexit. And if ever we as God's church need to pray, it is now.
However, whatever the Jordan 2019 brings, we have a hope, God's promise of blessing, which is a firm anchor for our souls. Jesus, our forerunner, has entered heaven and is seated at God's right hand and lives to make intercession for us.
Elisha had crossed over to the Jordan, back into the promised land. Where will he go next? First, he retraces his steps to Jericho, where he was met by the men of the city. Our city's in a lovely location, but the water supply is not good and the land is unproductive. Can you help? Elisha didn't hesitate for a minute. He called for salt, cast it into the water supply, and proclaimed the water healed.
Confronted by this problem, Elisha didn't preach a sermon. Instead, he did something practical and spoke out, resulting in the water's healing, death to life. Let us listen to the community around us in 2019 and continue our involvement in meeting practical needs. Let's trust God for healing and restoration, to open eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison, those who sit in darkness.
A while later, Elisha began to retrace his steps to Bethel, Israel's centre of worship. But his road was blocked by a gang of jeering boys. As we stand up for God and his ways in 2019, we shouldn't be surprised when opposition comes and when what we're trying to do is blocked. Jesus actually promised that in this world we would have trouble, but we should not fear, as he has overcome the world. Instead, when we face opposition, we should take that to God in prayer and ask God to intervene. I remember a time in Kyrgyzstan when we faced some very real opposition as we drove along the road. We were driving out from where we lived to a village one day along a dusty road. It was the first time we'd been to this village, and we'd been asked to go there to help a lady who ran a small church in her house. As we came near to the village, we suddenly saw there was a man standing in the middle of the road, brandishing a pitchfork of all things. He tried to stop our car and block our way. We moved sort of a little bit away from him, and then he tried to open the door of the car to get into the car for some reason. And our driver, fortunately, we sort of pushed him gently away, and we drove off, leaving him standing in the road. Looking back and thinking about from the Old Testament, we felt that God, it seemed that this man was trying to stop the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, entering the village. We'd been particularly invited there to go and share the good news and help teach and encourage the church in the people who went to that village church. We may also find opposition as we seek to come to worship God and as we seek to read his word. The evil one's not keen that we take time to learn of God and his ways, to see and try and understand his plans and his purposes for our lives. So let's be alert to the fact that opposition may come, and let's resolve to battle on through, to continue to walk with God on the road.
Elisha then journeys on to Mount Carmel, the place where God showed the people of Israel that he was Lord of all.
The change in Elisha from Elijah's assistant to prophet was permanent. He'd seen God's miracles as he journeyed with Elijah. But since Elijah had gone to heaven in a whirlwind, Elisha's life had been turned upside down. He was now on his own, with God at his side, seeing similar miracles, the parting of the river, healing the water of Jericho. He had indeed inherited a double share of Elijah's spirit, having faithfully followed Elijah to the end.
Through Elisha, the ordinary farmer, God continued to bring new hope to the people of Israel as God performed further miracles of mercy through him. A widow's oil was multiplied, a dead son raised to life. Naaman, an enemy commander, healed from leprosy, and the siege of Samaria raised.
Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we came to faith in him, the Bible teaches us that we received God's Holy Spirit in the same way that Elisha was filled with his spirit, which enabled him to respond in God's power to the needs of his community. So we should be encouraged that although we are just ordinary people, we can, in the power of God's Holy Spirit, respond to the needs of our communities and do the same as Elisha.
So let us, at the end of the old year, fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let each one of us take up the cloak, the mantle of God's blessing, the promised Holy Spirit, to enable us to step forward into 2019 as men and women of faith, demonstrating God's compassion and love, so that we, Khan, our nation, and our world are changed forever, bringing glory and honour to God's name.
We have a moment or two of silence and then I'll pray. Thank you for being with us in 2018. We ask that you would go with us into 2019. That your blessing and your power would be made apparent in each one of our lives. For any, Lord, who don't know you, my prayer is that they would come to you to seek your face and to learn to walk in your ways in 2019. Father God, we are ordinary men and women. We're nobody special, but for some reason you chose us to be your children and to walk in your ways. And we come to you at the beginning again of this new year. And we want to ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us. You would give us the strength to walk worthy, lives worthy of you in 2019. To the glory of your name. Amen.